In today's gospel, at his baptism, Christ is revealed as Son of God. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent this, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me?" Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
How many of you here today have seen the movie, "O Brother, Where Art Thou?" A few of you, okay. Came out a good number of years ago now. It was a comedy. Told the story of these three convicts in Mississippi in the 1930s. Everett, Pete, and Delmar. Now, they weren't, you know, big criminals. They did some minor petty crimes, but they ended up in prison. So one day they escape, and the whole story, the whole movie is basically about them trying to avoid being recaptured, the adventures they have trying to avoid being recaptured. But there's one scene in the movie that's very fitting for us to think about on this feast of the baptism of the Lord. In the movie, they're wandering through the woods. They've got their prison clothes on, you know, and they're still wandering through the woods trying to escape. And they hear this singing. They come upon this group of people all dressed in white going down to the river to be baptized. There's an old country preacher in the river. These people go down into the water. He dunks them under the water. They come up. Everybody's singing and laughing. And Delmar, who's never been baptized, is overcome by all this. And he rushes down to the river to get baptized himself, wearing his prison clothes and so forth. He goes down there, the preacher dunks him under the water, brings him up, talks to him a little bit. Delmar makes his way back to his friends on the shore. And he says to Everett and Pete, he says, "The preacher told me that now that I'm baptized, all my sins are forgiven. I'm right with God and right with man. He told me even that time I stole the pig, that was forgiven." The other two look at him and said, "You stole that pig? You told us you didn't steal that pig." He said, "I know, I lied. But the preacher told me that was forgiven too." So off they go. They make their way through, they come out this little clearing where there's this little country house. Of course, they're very hungry. And on the windowsill of the house is this fresh baked apple pie cooling there. So what do? They steal it. They're hungry. But then you have a close-up of the window and the windowsill, and as you see them walking away, a hand comes up onto the windowsill and puts down a dollar. Delmar. Delmar can't steal anymore. He's baptized. He can't steal anymore. He takes a dollar out, puts it up there on the windowsill. He's gotta be true to his baptism. He can't steal anymore. He pays for the pie. Never would have done that before. But after his baptism, that's what he's got to do. Interesting scene. Because today, you know, as we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, I think it's important for us to reflect on the meaning of our own baptism. What does it mean that you and I are baptized? Now, the word baptized itself, baptism itself, that word comes from a Greek word, baptizein. And that word baptizein refers to a dyeing process that the Greeks used, process of dyeing cloth. The Greeks had some very beautiful dyes. And what they would do is they'd put the dye in a big pot with whatever other things were in there, take the cloth, put it down into the pot, stir it around. And as they're stirring that piece of cloth around, the dye is permeating it, permeating every fabric, every fiber of that cloth is being permeated by the dye. When they take the cloth out, now it's something new, something beautiful, something different than it was before. And the early Christians saw that process as comparable to what happens in baptism. That's why they called it baptism. Because when you went down in the water with Christ, your whole person was permeated by his life. That water was a sign of his life permeating you, every fiber of your being. When you came up out of the water, you were a new person because you had now received the life of God. And now you had to live that life out. Now, St. Paul says, you have died with Christ, gone down into the water with him. Now you are raised with Christ. Now you must live a new life, his life. St. Paul says someplace else, you have put on Christ. Now live with his life. So that's what baptism means. We've received the life of Christ. Now we have to live it out. We receive baptism only once, but now we have to live it out every single day. What's that mean for us? When Christ went down to the Jordan River to be baptized, this was a little bit of a scandal for the early church. We see it today in the gospel. John the Baptist protests. He says, why should I baptize you? You should be baptizing me. Christ didn't need to have sins forgiven. He didn't need to receive the life of God. He was sinless and he was God himself. Why did he go down to the river then? The early church came to the conclusion that the reason he did that was that this was his way of dedicating himself to fulfill the will of the Father. When he was baptized, that was his way of saying to the Father, I will do your will. I will become the Savior of the world. I will follow your commands. It was Christ's dedication of himself to the Father, which is why the Father says today, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, because you will do what I'm asking you to do. So, if you and I are supposed to live out our baptism, it means we have to imitate Christ, doing the will of the Father every day, trying to strive to live out what the Father asks of us. What would that look like? Well, a couple of things I could use as examples. You decide deliberately, consciously, to forgive your spouse for their anger or their thoughtlessness, because that's what God wants you to do. You'll do that. Or you have a neighbor or a family member who's in tough times because of loss of a job. You consciously and deliberately choose to help that person out financially because that's what God wants you to do. Or again, looking at something that maybe we don't think about often enough. When we go to the polling station to vote, why do we vote the way we do? Christ came to establish the kingdom of God, right? What is that kingdom supposed to look like? We're told it's a kingdom of truth, justice, love, and peace. Truth, justice, love, peace. So it seems to me that when we choose the leaders for our country, no matter what party they belong to, we should be choosing leaders that we think are the ones who are going to best promote truth, justice, love, and peace. That may not be easy to discern always which candidate will do that best, but we should be at least asking the question, which of these candidates stands best for the kingdom of God? See, that's what it means to be baptized. We every day, consciously and deliberately, are trying to do the will of the Father. Some years ago, there was a group of tourists on the island of Bau, B-A-U, which is a little island in the chain of the Fiji Islands. given a tour of this little island, which was populated by some native peoples that had been there for many generations. So one of the places on the tour was the Christian church on the island. They went into the church and were given a, you know, showed around the church. And then the guide brought them to this big kind of rough-hewn stone bowl. And he said, this has a very special significance to our people. We used to use this bowl generations ago for the blood of our enemies. When we had battles and we killed them, we'd put their blood in here. Then we'd offer that blood to the pagan gods. But then, he said, the missionaries came. And we and our enemies all became Christians. Now what are we going to do with that bowl? He said, we decided we would make it our baptismal font. Interesting, huh? The bowl that was used in a warlike fashion now becomes the bowl in which they receive the life of Christ. A changed people, a regenerated people, a new people in baptism. That's what you and I are supposed to be. I'd like to make a little suggestion in closing. I don't know how many of you have the custom when you come into church or when you leave the church of taking some holy water from the baptismal font back there and blessing yourself. It's a very ancient, beautiful custom. I'd recommend you do. And when you take that water, the water in which you were baptized, you bless yourself with it, you're recommitting yourself to the meaning of your baptism. You're saying to God, I will strive with your grace to live out my baptism this day and every day. Remember this. You're baptized. You're baptized. I'm baptized. We've received the life of God. How wonderful. We're baptized. Let's live that life out as fully as we can every single day by trying to fulfill for us the will of the Father. May God bless you.